This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Happy St. Patrick's Day Eve, Hunter.
Oh, it's crazy to think that we're already midway through March.
Right.
At least we're getting a little reprieve from the atmospheric river.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I know. It's like, I think winter kind of came back a little bit last week. Now we're back into like regular spring, faux spring. I don't know, but it is St. Patrick's Day Eve. Being a good little Irish girl here, I do celebrate. I'm looking forward to some corned beef and cabbage and a little coal cannon for tomorrow's meal.
Oh, are we going to have the voice, the accent for the whole show?
No, because it's really hard to do an Irish brogue.
No, we're actually doing a little celebrating tonight. It's one of my children's birthdays today.
Aw, nice.
So we will have our big dinner tonight. And unfortunately, you know, the beef, my family is not big fans, but I like it. But I think it's a little too salty for the kids especially.
I'm kind of with you. I kind of like it on after. I like it sliced and then on like a marbled rye, maybe with a little sauerkraut and some good mustard. That's kind of how I like it. Coal cannon, on the other hand, if you've never had coal cannon, it's basically cabbage and potatoes with bacon.
Yeah.
There's just nothing wrong with that dish at all.
Yeah, that one you can live with. I mean, I'd probably have to take the cabbage away from the kids. You know, don't dish them up any of the cabbage just because they'll look at it and go, ew, what's that?
Oh, tell them it's just bacon. Just tell them it's bacon. It's all bacon. Everything's, it's so good.
It'll be flavored so like bacon after being cooked with it anyway.
So I do love St. Patrick's Day. So if you have a birthday celebration tonight, it is No Selfies Day. I did not know that there was such a thing, but it is No Selfies Day. So I don't want to see any selfies on social media.
They won't be from me, but they may be of him and his girlfriend who is about ready to pop.
Oh my gosh. All right.
That's the other fun stuff around my life right now is these things could happen anytime.
Life lived to its fullest. I love it. Well, one thing that happened last night, which I didn't know and I wouldn't have known if social media didn't tell me, apparently it was the Oscars were last night. And I said, I used to be a fan. I especially in like the 80s and 90s, I watched it. I loved it. I loved the red carpet. I usually had seen the movies. I couldn't tell you. I think Frankenstein was one. And then that ridiculous propaganda piece of garbage that actually won was one. I've not seen any of these movies. I literally could not care less about the Oscars. But there's some articles. I don't know if you follow Michael Loftus, the Loftus Party. He's on Gutfeld, the left. And he's got a story. Oscars 2026 highlights from a guy who didn't watch it. And it was hilarious. There was one moment you and I were talking about. There was an acceptance speech that broke through all the self-important, narcissistic, BS-wearing buttons and ribbons. I guess she won for Hamnet, and her speech talked about loving her family and her husband and her children, and she dedicated it to the chaos of a mother's heart. I hope I didn't mangle that too much. I watched it this morning and I got a little teary-eyed on it.
Well, and
it was nice.
And she said she wants to have more babies with her husband.
20,000 more.
And the only thing that pops into my mind, I'm sitting there going, poor Jesse Buckley, you're never going to win anything else in Hollywood because, gosh darn it, you brought semblance of normalcy into an award show and pretty much laid it out that you're a cis woman married to a man. And you want to be nothing but his baby factory. I'm sitting there going, Hollywood frowns on you.
It was so bad. And then, of course, there was that one chick from some show that I've never heard. I've never heard of her, never heard of the show, never going to watch it, who didn't get the memo, apparently, that we've moved on from Gaza. Because she's out there. I'm just calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Okay, October. Hon. Check your calendar at October. And I just don't want to, I'm so blessed to use my platform. It's like, nope, wrong. We swapped it out for, we don't want a free Iran anymore and we like dictators. What are we up to now for Hollywood? I don't know.
But Venezuela or Iran at least would be a little more current.
Something like that. But it's just.
Well, I think she had that one, that speech written up for probably some award show, 6 months ago that she didn't get a chance to speak at. So she had to whip it out now.
Yeah. Well, I get really, really kind of tired of them all lecturing everybody. Again, a lot of these people are, you know, not very educated. They live in a bubble. Of course, there's a picture going viral of the, what is it, the Dolby Auditorium down there in LA after the festivities. And it looks like, you know, a pigsty. Mm-hmm. These people just dumped their garbage and walked out because, you know, someone else will clean it up. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, I sit here and go, you know, it's like the pictures you'd see at movie theaters years ago. And now even movie theaters encourage people to at least pick up the garbage they can and toss it on their way out the door. But obviously Hollywood still hasn't reached that memo. Only the patrons that watch their movies get that memo.
And again, I have not seen any of the movies. I think the only one, I almost watched Sinners, but it looked like the one, it's like a vampire movie. And I'm just kind of not into horror movies anymore. The one with DiCaprio and Sean Penn that ended up winning. Couldn't care less about total propaganda and transparent. They don't even try to hide it behind a good story anymore. It's just like, oh gosh, okay, the white people are bad. They're conservative. Okay, got it. Great, thanks. Can I get my, you know, my 2 hours and my, how much is it now to go to a movie? My $20.
Yeah, at least that's a matinee showing on a, you know, Monday afternoon. But you know, I'm sitting here going, in this article, they actually reference that. Probably one reason you haven't seen any of these pictures is in order to compete at the Oscars for Best Picture, all films must meet the diversity inclusion quota.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad you pointed that out, because it's not about storytelling or making movies that the audience wants to hear. It's about checking boxes. Intersectionality is the name of the game, and you've got to have this diversity quota. You've got to have, let's see, it may include African-American, Black, African or Korean. So what do you do if your whole movie is based on the history of like early Norwegian sailors, which I think mm-hmm. came out, and somebody asked the guy that said it wasn't diverse. He's like, it's about Norway in like 1750. And well, you just kind of look at these people like, what's wrong with you?
Well,
are you mad?
Well, and that's the problem is this mentality. I mean, the general ensemble cast where 30% of actors have to be from the women racial or ethnic group, LGBTQ plus, or people with cognitive or physical disabilities. And I'm sitting here going, okay, let's see. That really takes any historical piece, like, you know, anything out of the running if you want to be historically accurate.
Right.
It takes a lot of kind of period pieces out of play. It takes, I mean, I'm sitting there going, I mean, if you were to do a World War II kind of movie, are you going to have women and blacks and LGBTQ Nazis? I mean, I'm just sitting here going, how do you even do these kinds of things for anything it's beyond just pure
stunt casting?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's garbage. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is like, well, you can't have a straight actor play a gay actor, blah, blah, blah. It's called acting. Everyone is pretending to be something they're not. I'm so over these people. I think most people are. I guess the ratings, this was like a 5-year high for them, but it used to be 40 million. Now it's, I don't know what it is. And in fact, nobody knew it was on. I don't even know if it was on a network. Maybe it was. Who knows? Again, you've got all the pins and they're bashing ICE and all this stuff. And nobody cares. Nobody cares. And then some chick was out there getting mad because somebody bumped her. And so she starts fighting with the guy. And it was like, it's like, when did the Oscars become Waffle House? I didn't see that, but I'm like, oh my gosh.
Well, they've just opened
up. Calm down, people.
They've opened up for so many memes. Celebrities are bashing ICE at the Oscars red carpet while being protected by massive securities. At the Oscars, you'll find car sweeps, canine units, helicopters overhead, SWAT teams, entire streets locked down. So the message from Hollywood is security for us, but not for you.
Not for you. And I I'm over at theloftusparty.com looking at his thing. I do like this because I like this actress. Amy Madigan won an Oscar. I don't know what movie she was in. I don't know what role she won it for. But I do like her or her body of work. She was in Uncle Buck. She played Uncle Buck's girlfriend, and she's been in so many good things. Her husband, Ed Harris, was there, and she looked genuinely surprised, and it was a nice moment. So there you go. That's what I'll take from the Oscars.
That's right. Well, and that's, I guess the saving grace is we didn't have that massive viral moment like a slap heard round the world nobody's illegal on stolen land or any of those crazy, you know, viral moments that really defined a award show from Hollywood.
So in that respect, I'd say it was a failure then, because we didn't get those, other than we got I'm blessed to have a platform, ceasefire in Gaza. Okay, thanks, hon. I don't even know. I'm like, and I don't know the shows. I just don't care anymore.
No.
Blah,
well,
nobody cares.
And that's the big thing is entertainment has shifted so much. People aren't watching broadcast television. They're watching cable TV. They're streaming what they want to see. And when the first things are, you know, well, let's see, it's got a straight woman playing a gay, a lesbian, so you just can't watch this. I'm kind of going, you know, it really takes away when it's just kind of, we got to throw in gratuitous same-sex mentality into it all.
Hollywood is all about the message. And again, hat tip to the critical drinker, the best reviewer on YouTube. That's all I've got now. Go away. yeah. And that's it. And that nobody cares. They're not putting out again. It really should be shut up and saying you've lost the plot here, people. Mm-hmm. Literally, you're in Hollywood and you've lost the plot.
Well, you know, like
and
you
so
said.
Nobody's watching your crap anymore. I was streaming something on Amazon Paramount, this new show called The Madison, which is from Taylor Sheridan, which is Yellowstone. It was great. And I were a couple episodes in and we're like, this is, I like this. So I'm going to watch this.
Well, and in so many ways, that's what's created. Taylor Sheridan now has a very religious following. Certain directors, certain producers who put out quality shows, when they put out something new, they have a following now, and they've kind of built this underground build because they put out something really good. You know, I can think of a number of great shows of years past where when the producer or the director or whomever, maybe sometimes even an actor, puts out something new, you're kind of like, I have to at least check this out.
Yeah. Yeah. And we did. And I so far, we both really like it. The mustache and I like it. So yeah, no, didn't watch the Oscars. So don't care. Don't care about the award shows. Seeing rich, pampered, spoiled, out of touch narcissists congratulate themselves is just not my idea of a good time. All right, let's go ahead and take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by the Perlin Mill and Color Tile of Salem.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Okay, so also happening this weekend was, let's see, what was that? It was Friday, right? Friday night?
Was it Friday or Saturday? I think it was
Saturday.
Saturday. Mm-hmm.
So again, we're in political season. It is primary season. There is a very, very large group of Republicans running on the Republican side for the Republican nomination. Three of them appeared in Coos County, Coos Bay.
It was in Coos Bay, I believe.
Yeah.
The forum. So, which is in Coos County. So you got it right.
It was Saturday night in Coos. Okay, Saturday night in Coos County, the Republican candidates for Oregon governor stepped onto the stage to make their case for the party faithful. Shout out and hat tip to Ben Roche. This is over at rightwingoregon.com, who did kind of a blow by blow. I ended up watching it all. I watched. There was a preliminary one that had local candidates on it, and I texted you because I watched it and I was so frustrated because the audio was absolutely atrocious on that. So I just, you know, going forward with these things, you and I have done this. We've moderated debates. We've done this. We've set it up for broadcast. You test that stuff out before you go live.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating. I barely heard anything anybody said. Monique Despain was there. I really like her as a candidate. There were a couple of local county commissioner candidates there. Could not hear a word they said, and it was really disappointing. So I messaged you, and I'm like, okay, they better figure this out before the main event at 7 o'clock. Luckily, yeah. They did.
Yeah. So I watched that little bit at the beginning and I was kind of like, it seemed like they didn't have the audio properly connected to what they were putting out live in the screen. So virtually, instead of hearing straight from the microphone, you were hearing the room, which then, of course, whatever mic they were using, whether it was a phone speaker, whether it was something else, it was not capable of picking it up, and so it was very choppy. And then on top of that, you could kind of hear other conversations around wherever this mic was. So I'm glad they got it cleaned up. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to stick around and watch that long.
Well, I did. And I got to say, it was moderated by a young woman named Taryn, who I did not know this was her first time doing it. So I gotta give her some kudos. It's not an easy job. Mm-mm. And I know there was one segment there where there was an audience question. And I think somebody even in the audience was like, dude, get to the question, because he was speechifying. And so there were a couple of things where could have tightened it up for a first time out. I thought, well done, my dear. Well done. She did a good job. Yeah. And so on stage was Ed Deal, Representative Ed Deal, HD 17, County Commissioner Danielle Bethel, and then a YouTuber named David Medina. So my opinion, first of all, I think Ben Roche did a great job breaking it down. I'm pretty much in line with his breakdown. And again, if you want to read the whole thing, it's at rightwingoregon.com. He puts Ed Deal at first place, and then Danielle, and then the other guy at third place. He said, what was the title? One leader, one manager, and one megaphone. Mm-hmm. And his assessment that Ed Deal came across as someone who was very, you know, sort of governor-like. He was very policy. Danielle Bethel we know she's our Marion County Commissioner. I thought she did a great job. I thought both she and Ed Deal really did a great job. They really played well to their strengths. They respected the audience. They listened to the questions. They had very thoughtful answers, and they both brought a lot to the table. Either one of those would be great. They would really be great. Danielle is very much of a policy wonk and really knows that and really articulated well how hard it is as a local official, someone who has to, she used the phrase, bumping her head against a lot of rules and regulations and how hard that is. Ed comes at it from the legislator side of things. And he had a bit of a broader scope on that. Both of them had strong closing statements. And again, I thought they both comported themselves well and did well for their supporters. Ed Deal is also kind of, we talked last week with Mark Anderson about that poll that he did that put him at the top. That's one poll. Mm-hmm. So that's the caveat. It's one poll. But he did come out on top of that. And I think both Deal and Bethel did well for their campaigns.
Yeah, no, and that's, it was kind of, even reading this assessment, it was kind of what I assumed would kind of be the way it'd play out. Ed Deal, as a representative, is in the Marble House. He sees what's going on. He's played the games. He's been a part of it. He's pushed back on it. He knows where he's going to come up against a wall that unfortunately the only way to fix it is to really just switch direction. Where Danielle, from the executive perspective, understands how to run the county, understands how to run things, and understands that rules and regulations are a challenge that you have to be able to work within or around or through or whatever. So, yeah, they came off very well. And, of course, with the third candidate on the forum, it didn't surprise me a whole lot. When you're talking about somebody who's built their reputation on social media, being a part of filming things going on downtown Portland and part of J6 and other things, him kind of finishing in third with the passion, but not really the understanding of how government works. Totally, I understand that perspective.
And I got to say, I was watching it, and I thought the body language of this individual was disrespectful. You've got people that have come that there's a lot of work that goes into putting these together. All the candidates were there. He didn't really have a lot of answers to anything. And I was sort of more broad attacking the Democrats. But I want to move to this because it came up. And I thought this was an interesting conversation about vote by mail and supporting a petition that's out there to get rid of it. And most people are like, if we got rid of vote by mail. So Ed Deal, there's not controversy, but he got some pushback on saying that Oregonians kind of like it. Mm-hmm. And we've had this conversation before that I don't know that you're going to get rid of it because it's really convenient and a lot of people like it. He's getting some pushback online about that, but I think he just gave an answer that they necessarily didn't want to hear. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember Danielle Bethel's answer to that as well, because they were kind of asked, would you support this initiative petition? And I don't think Deal did not say that he would, but he articulated why.
Yeah.
And I hear that a lot, and I appreciate the answer.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is my gut feeling when it comes to the whole vote by mail in Oregon thing. I don't think you are going to get enough support from the Republicans, let alone both sides of the aisle, to get rid of it. It's way too convenient, especially for elderly people or people that are very busy working, which a lot of conservatives are. It's an ease of operations mentality. The only way I see vote by mail going away is if the federal government can find a way to mandate no vote by mail any longer, minus the, pre-approved exceptions.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was the first of many, and a lot of people are upset that Christine Drazen and Chris Dudley were not there. They apparently had scheduling conflicts, and so okay, that's fine, that happens. I think I have to give a shout out and a kudos. This was the Friends of the Coos County Republican Party who put this on, and again, a lot of work goes into this. So I appreciate the candidates who respected their audience and had very good, clear, concise answers. Whether you like the answers or not, they answered the questions.
Yeah. And that's what you can ask for from your elected officials. I mean, I don't want an elected official that is going to lie to my face and do the opposite. We already have had 40 years of that with the Democrats. Right. Let's find somebody who can be honest and say, hey, I want to help you with this scenario, but there's going to be challenges in order to get to where we want to be.
Also saying, and I know we're coming up against the bottom of the hour, but just as far as social media, you don't win a campaign on social media. You really win campaigns at the doorstep and community events, and it's in person, face to face. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. That can amplify and augment your message as you go out and knock on doors and talk to people and go to community events. But to run a campaign solely on social media, it's just a microcosm of
All I know is I am hoping to see a forum similar to this, or a debate, or whatever you want to put it, that has Ed Deal, Danielle Bethel, Christine Drazen, and Dudley in it. That's what I want to see, because I believe those are the four top contenders and the most likely to represent the Republican parties against Tina Kotek in November.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what Medina can do with the social media thing. But I honestly, having been doing this for a long time, it's in person, face to face, radio and TV too.
Well, and so, as we said, the biggest downside may be that there's too much against him that Tina could use if he was to go through the primary.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a moot point anyway. So anyway, and I would check out the video. It's all over social media. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break to the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. We're going to jump right into our next segment, welcoming to the third chair, our very own TJ Sullivan, Hagen Hamilton Insurance, sponsor of the Newsmakers at Noon show. TJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be back with you guys.
So you and I have been chatting. We've all been chatting over the weekend and over last week. There's some exciting stuff that you're going to be working in partnership with us with, and we wanted to get you on here to tell everybody about it. It is wicked cool, if I must say so.
Well, thank you. Yeah, our leadership has really made a point of, you know, we're in seven different locations throughout Oregon, including Salem. Mm-hmm. And our leadership has made a point of saying, we want our agents to be involved in our community. Check, done. And then as I started thinking about our radio ad, you know, I know everybody loves hearing me talk about insurance.
Mm-hmm. And, we do.
And I love talking about insurance. But at the same time, as I'm out about town, I'm coming across people who are doing amazing things in our community to stimulate the economy or to help the less fortunate in our community. And we need to spotlight them so that, because I'm not the only one that wants to support these people. There's a lot of good people that are listening that are like, if only I knew where I could go to do X, I would do it. And I just want to highlight those people so that because I think we draw inspiration from it, because sometimes it could be like, man, I feel like the homeless situation is just overwhelming. There's nothing I can do. Okay, well, there's a great story about Mother Teresa and the businessman, where the businessman sees Mother Teresa in the squalors and he's like, hey, do you really think you can do anything about the situation here? And she says, I don't know, but I'm going to start with that guy right there. Mm-hmm. And that's the attitude we got to have. And if we know that there are people that are out doing lots of good things, I think it'll be easier for the rest of us to fall in line and do some awesome things too inside our community.
I agree. And we hear so much of the bad news. And I, you know, Hunter and I, a lot of times we'll be talking and it's like, God, it just feels like bad news after bad news, it gets a little grinding, and I like shifting it up because there are a ton of people in the Salem, Mid-Willamette Valley area that are out there doing the work without the recognition. They're doing it because they have a heart for service. They love people. They love what they're doing, and they're adding impact to the community. And so I love that you're going to be highlighting and spotlighting. So I'm assuming, too, if someone is hearing this and says, well, I have this guy over here or this gal over here is doing that, they can let you know that?
100%. Okay. I would love to hear hearing those stories, and mm-hmm. there's still lots of people that I don't know yet. But, you know, we also have, I think, we're on one end of the political spectrum, and on the other mm-hmm. end, there are people who are saying, no, I hate nonprofits because they compete with the government, and I want the government to take care of everybody. I've mm-hmm. literally had people say, well, I don't want to support this nonprofit because this nonprofit keeps people from needing the government.
Wow.
Right. And that's literally a mindset that is out there. I can't understand that mindset because I was like,
no.
Why would you care how people get helped?
Yeah.
Right. We wouldn't care. I don't care who helps, whether they're government or non-government. In fact, most of the time, the non-government entities are more efficient at delivering the care with a higher degree of accountability. So that could be one piece, but there's also... there are a lot of people who are in their 30s in downtown Salem who have mortgaged their entire future to start a business. Well, we need to yes. hear about that because we cannot let those people fail. We have to be supporting them. But a lot of times we don't know about the awesome things that are happening in Salem. We're going to spotlight it.
I love it. I remember a button years ago when I worked with Siltech. There's a blast from the past. Somebody wore it and it was like, catch me doing something right. And it was like, yeah, when people are doing really good things, catch them when they're doing something right and let's shout it from the rooftops and let people know what's going on. And you're right, there are, you know, downtown, it goes through cycles, as you know. You served on city council, so you know it goes through cycles. We're kind of in a little bit of a cycle right now. So if there are folks, and like you said, younger people that are doing this, that are putting everything on the line to do this.
100%. Yeah, I mean that just... when I hear those stories about people who are like, yep, I took out my second mortgage to make my Ooh. Business go.
Yeah.
And like, how old are you? And like, what happens if this fails? Well, I mean, I'm destitute, you know, I'm moving back in with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And like, well, yeah. We can't let mom and dad have that happen to mom and dad.
That's right. Save mom and dad. Yeah.
Save mom and dad. This is all for mom and dad. So TJ, give us an idea of, have you got some in mind? I know we're getting started. We're putting this all together. There's some moving pieces to put together. So what we're going to do is you're going to be joining us every month because you're going to spotlight someone new or a group or a person, an individual every month.
Yeah.
So who have you got like right now that's kind of like yeah, right in, up in the forefront? Can?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first one is everybody's heard of Crumble Cookie. I don't know yes. how many people have heard of Sewell Sweets in downtown Salem, but Chad and Kat mm-hmm. Sewell are some of those 30-somethings who have put everything on the line mm-hmm. for their business. And they are, Kat Sewell is the mad scientist. She has come up with some creations that, I mean, they're stupid how incredibly good they are. And
oh, wow.
I don't want to be giving away my secret fishing hole for treats for people, but what they're coming up with, I mean, if she could talk about it, I guarantee you there are people listening that would throw the car in reverse to get to down there
like
to
right
their
now.
Shop like right now. But they deserve to be because she's also stimulating the economy. We have exactly. to figure out how to grow yep. the economy here in Oregon, and she's one of those people that's doing it. Another person is AJ Clausen, who I don't know if you're familiar with AJ, but he AJ is a former Marine who has got a heart for people who have served and who are dealing with, you know, homelessness or mental illness. And I don't know about you guys, but I can't stand by and let a veteran suffer. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. AJ has done a lot of good work and he can tell us about a lot of cool things that are happening. The Elsinore has just been killing it recently with who they've been getting in as guests. And Rob Riegel is coming to support Courtney Place, which is a housing for veterans.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
with wraparound services. And so I want to highlight, you know, the work that AJ is doing and talk about how we can support veterans. Because when I watch the channels, there's all these different national programs,
yeah,
you know, that are great to support, and I support them, but I would rather support something local if I can.
Amen. I'm hearing that's just two.
too. Yeah, and there's a lot more. I mean,
there's a lot more, and I think what hopefully the goal is to take this from more than just once a month and to expand it, because there are so many people that are doing great work, and none of them seek recognition in most cases. They really don't.
No,
in fact,
no.
A lot of them are like, oh no, you know, they're very humble.
In fact, I don't know if you heard, but Senator Durfler passed away, and if there was ever somebody was a champion for being a humble servant,
yes,
was Gene Durfler. And he was somebody from Salem. And
one
of my favorite stories about Gene Durfler is at the height of his success, when he was one of the most powerful people inside the Oregon legislature, I showed up and he was holding the door open for a whole bunch of people to come into the building. And he was standing there for probably 15 minutes, just holding the door, saying hello to everybody. And there's a lot of legislators that would think, I'm too important, I got to get into my office to harumph. And he was and he was not like that, you know. He was just standing there holding the door open for people, like a humble servant.
I love that. Yeah, there are too many that are a little bit too don't you know who I am vibe, and we're like, nah. No. So we're going to kick these off. You've got the script ready. Are you doing all the interviewing you're going to do? We're going to hear you, and you're going to hear. Okay.
You're going to hear me. You're going to hear from the person, and we'll do just keep it short and sweet. And maybe there'll be a fun question in there to make you laugh. You know, it doesn't have to be all about, you know, your mission or what you're doing. I want to know a little bit about you. So I may ask, you know, what's your favorite Blizzard flavor, or what's your, you know, we're going to get into the meaty issues.
That's right. Get the important stuff in there.
Yeah.
So we don't have a schedule yet of when they're going to air, but they will be. So you're going to be recording them. You're going to bring these folks in. Yep. And then, of course, you know, if you want to know what's coming up, we're going to queue it up with you or tee it up with you at the beginning of every month, like I said. I think this is great. I love the heart behind it. I think it's something that we need to do. Because, like you said, there are so many people that are toiling out there, that are doing the work, doing the really hard work in many cases.
Yeah, and you know, our leadership at Hagen Hamilton is, in every community that we are in, we are sponsoring stuff for nonprofits, and we are taking care of stepping up to provide for, you know, a lot of these different entities that are doing great things all throughout Oregon, and it's based on this idea. And Mike McLaren was really a great champion of this idea of, we're going to take care of creating an environment for business to prosper. But business, you don't get to just sit on your bank account. You got to get out and invest back in your community by spending your time and treasure on the nonprofits, which is really, you know, another safety net for folks.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, I certainly welcome this. And when we were chatting about putting it together, I was really excited about it. And we're excited to get to work with you a little closer, TJ. We have you on periodically to talk about, because you're very involved in the community yourself.
Yeah, I got a heart for Salem. I do. It's funny because my kids are like, they just know. Well, you know, when we go somewhere, you know, they're like, hey, Dad, what did you have to do with that building? Or what did you have to do with that park? Or what did you have to do with making this better? And I was like, well, here's what we did. And then my son's like, I can't wait till I get to be able to be like you. And I'm like, that's exactly what I love to hear. A 20-year-old who wants to.
Well, he's been doing it since the competition for the Best Apron Award.
Yeah, that's true.
During Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben will let me forget that.
That's right.
Well, I love it. TJ, you're going to join us the first Monday of every month to kick off that month's individual that you're going to be talking to. I'm so looking forward to the content that you're going to put out, the people that you're going to talk to. And I just think it's a welcome addition. And I think as KYKN, we're thrilled to partner with you on this.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It is. All right. We're going to have to stop. We're going to have to wrap it up there. Again, everybody, TJ Sullivan, Hagen Hamilton. He sponsors the Newsmakers at Noon show. Be sure to tune in on those Mondays to hear more from him. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Cozy's New York Deli.
Okay, just real quick. I love this, what TJ's doing and the partnership we've got doing that with the community champions and the PSAs that we're going to be playing. I really can't wait to hear the first one.
Yeah, and of course, we'll also move that over to the social media side of things with Facebook posts and If we can Instagram and maybe even X, huh? Maybe.
Well, you know what, X? Yes, we've got a KYK and X account, and for whatever reason, it decided that it just doesn't like our KYK. It suspended me. I have done nothing, Hunter. I have done nothing. I have made, and I do make controversial comments on my other accounts, but not on KYK, and I behave myself. And X, and I'm like, so I'm appealing it, so I don't know. Ugh, it's maddening.
We thought this was free speech. Yeah, come on, Elon. You know you're listening right now via the KYKN app. You know, come on.
right. Which is comes in handy as it did last week when there was some issues with the transmitter.
Yeah. Well, I can talk on that for a quick moment. So
yeah, sure.
Friday we were off of the air for a good portion of the day. I'm assuming the vast majority of you probably tuned in and just heard our static. Unfortunately, with the atmospheric river, it dropped a whole lot of rain into some components, which then flooded it. And we had a tech crew working out there, and I think it took them close to 8 hours to get the component dried out and working the way it should be. So, yeah, it was Friday afternoon before we got back on the air. So,
yeah, it's funny. I stream it, so I didn't notice until I saw a message from producer Dave, and then I'm like, what? So, yeah.
Yeah, so, for future reference, if we have those kinds of problems, it's always worth checking either the KYKN app, kykn.com, listen live, or I believe there's a few other streaming platforms you can find our programming on. So,
Yep. You can always get it. So that's good that they were on it and got it fixed. It's amazing how persnickety this equipment can be sometime. Real quick, wanted to give an update. We talk about this a lot. Measure 114, now that the saints be praised, the legislative session is over.
Deep breath.
Tony Aiello Jr. is the attorney who's been walking through a lot of this with the folks. He just had an update today. I wanted to share that with everybody because this has been on our radar since it went through this horrible anti-freedom. Anyway.
Well, it's sadly 114 and 110 and 111 it's the reason.
113.
I mean, this is the reason why I don't have a ton of faith in Oregon voters if something like IP28 gets onto the ballot.
Oh my gosh. He said he wanted to give an update for folks out there. He said, first, they're still fundraising after taking a break through the 2025 holidays and the beginning of the year recovery. They appreciate the support, and there's information on how to do that. There's a give, send, go, state court_stop measure 114. Second, we still have a permanent injunction against Measure 114. This stands unless we lose in the Supreme Court. If we do lose, the March 15th, 2026, this was yesterday, which was set by SB 243 in 2025, is no longer the enforcement date due to the amendments in HB 4145. However, Governor Kotek hasn't signed that bill yet. If she does sign, the new date will be January 1, 2028. If she doesn't sign, the injunction will stand unless we lose in the Oregon Supreme Court. He said there could be some lag time between losing and enforcement, but not much. And then lastly, the federal case in the Ninth Circuit remains paused behind Duncan v. Bonta. Keep an eye on SCOTUS on that case and Gators Custom Guns as well. Both cases only deal with the magazine ban half of ballot measure 114, but the federal case has been parked until those cases are decided. So there's lots of updates. Again, I would go follow him. He's Tony Aiello Jr., civil attorney. I'm not sure where I found this post. It might have been in one of the groups that I belong to.
Yeah, it's
but I appreciate
Facebook.
The update because following it has been kind of a little whiplashy.
Yeah, and that's the challenge with these things is like we said in the last week or two, it's you know, when you're dealing with lawsuits against government, you know, you got to get all the funding you can, you know, via give, send, go and other donations, where the government, because they're just spending your money, is more than happy to just draw things out and complicate them and twist and turn, throw some amendments in there, whatever they can do to convolute the ideal outcome here.
It feels like a game of like three card Monty. You can never keep your eye on the whatever the card. It's like, geez. But speaking of give, send, go, and then of course, obviously, what we're talking about with TJ of really kind of highlighting community champions and people doing amazing things. This story hit last week. I love this. Internet users have raised $280,000 for an elderly man who became a DoorDash delivery driver to help pay for his wife and his bills. So this woman got the delivery. You can see the camera video, and he's a very elderly man. He's gingerly making his way up the steps to deliver her coffee. He says, quote, I work because I have to. I don't really want to. I was actually retired, but my wife lost her job at no fault of her own, which means she lost her health insurance. And so this woman saw it on her camera and decided to set up a GoFundMe or a Give Some Go. I'm not sure what. And so far they're at like 280,000. Probably it's more since I sent you this tweet. But I just think this is lovely. And I guess they have a video of him and his wife getting the money. And he really, yeah, it's over 300,000 right now. And that was on the 12th. Very humbly receiving the money.
Yeah.
And I love that.
And this is where these crowdfunding kind of things are so amazing and so wonderful, when they can help someone who's in this situation. You know, we're able to talk about it a lot as expenses and costs rise. You know, fixed incomes don't change. And finding those people that are doing, I mean, how easy would it be to just kind of, you know, downsize into some tiny little hole in the wall and, you know, try and survive that way? It's like, here's somebody who's willing to go out and work when he's not physically really that capable of doing it in order to support his wife and himself. And, you know, you give all the credit in the world, and you appreciate it when people reach out and say, hey, let's make a difference in this person's life.
Right. I love it. And stuff like this goes viral. I saw, remember Jeannie, the lady from Target, who got harangued by that horrible woman about her Charlie Kirk shirt?
Yeah.
Guess she's been named like Citizen of the Year or something in her community. But that's another example of people coming together and seeing people in need that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good part of the internet. There's so much crap and garbage on the internet. This is like the good part, where people were dropping $5, $6, but it's amazing how much it adds up.
Well, yeah, I mean, you always go with that mentality. If everybody you knew donated a dollar, you'd have, you know, thousands of dollars before you can turn around. So, I appreciate those things, and the good stuff. We need more of the good stories. And like we talked about, TJ, the people that are making a difference, that are working hard behind the scenes, that are doing these things, they never get the recognition. It goes back to one of the first things I was taught when I entered the workforce was, for everyone that gets a good experience, they might sell 2 to 3 people. For everyone that gets a bad experience, they're going to sell 8 or 9 people.
Yeah.
So let's try and give everybody that good experience and really highlight. And we need to share the words more about when people are doing those things that make a difference, and applauding it more so than we do.
And to highlight that, because like I said, you know, when a lot of it's negative. There's a lot of negative, a lot of heavy stuff. A lot of it's really hard. And especially if you live in the world of X and social media and reading the news, and you have to be up on the news and up on what's going on. And you try to be fair, and you try to not get it wrong. And you try to, you know, but so you're just, it's like, it's this constant fire hose of information coming at you. And so much of it is negative. To find those little gems of stories, or those gems of people that are out there with no fanfare, no Oscars, no speeches, no people doing their hair and makeup. They go out there every day, they bust it out, they help people. They deserve our appreciation and a little yay, you go.
Yeah, well, and what motivates people? Positive reinforcement. I mean, it's proven that positive reinforcement does so much more for the psyche than, you know, negativity. And I go, you and I deal with this on a daily basis. There are some days we get behind these microphones, just blood boiling, on fire, ready to rant and rave and complain, because there is so much negativity that is just being shoved down our throats everywhere you look. So I appreciate what TJ is doing, what Hagen Hamilton is doing, and what people are doing for these unknown community members that need that helping hand.
Yeah. I'm going to be so curious to hear the first one, and then to see who he brings on each month. And so, again, we'll have him on every month to let us know who he's highlighting. Well, that's it for us today. Good show today. Lots going on. Yeah. We got great guests all week, so definitely check back in. We've got amazing guests all week long. So, again, go out, have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.